Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showing him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And let's read verse 11 together. Ready? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being in our church. I believe the greatest church in all the world. I believe your presence is here, and I believe you're pleased with being here. Father, we've heard, and you've heard, your people sing praises unbelievably well back to you. We've heard with one great unity, people reading the Word of God. Father, we're a needy people. We're in need of your presence, and we're in need of the Word of God being preached to us. Fill our preacher with your power, please. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change us so we could go help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'm going to talk to you about the subject of temptation. But before I start, let me say something to you, if I could. I do not preach what I preach because it is my job. I preach what I preach because it is my passion. If I did not preach what I preach here, I would preach it somewhere. I did not choose the ministry as a career alternative. God called me, and I've got to do what I do because it is a passion and it comes from my innermost being. So as you hear me preach and as you hear me teach, I want you to stop and realize something. This is not just a job to me. It's far more than that. The lives of God's people are hanging in the balances. And I'm going to do everything I can to get them to tilt the right way and to get people to do the right thing. And so I hope, as you hear the preaching, you'll realize I'm not entertaining. I'm trying to preach the Word of God to the people of God in the Spirit of God so that God might be glorified in our lives. That's my ultimate purpose. And again, tonight, that is the case. Temptation. Boy, it's something we all face. Here in Matthew chapter 4, we've read the story. Jesus goes into the wilderness where he will face temptation. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says afterwards he was hungry. The tempter comes. The one who brings that old temptation on, Satan, comes along to him and says, Hey, if you're God's son, show your power and turn these stones into bread. Jesus did not give in to that temptation. Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You say, well, so Brother Owens, what's the big deal if Jesus had turned those stones into bread? What is the big deal about that? It was not a big deal about turning stones into bread. Jesus could do that, no problem. That's no problem at all. It was the fact that the devil was tempting him to show off his power. And the power of God that was upon Jesus Christ was not to be shown off. It was not a competitive fun thing. It was to be used properly. And he was not going to be tempted to become arrogant and prideful about who and what he was. So the devil tempted him. But Jesus won over that temptation. And Satan didn't give up. He tried again. He comes to Jesus a second time. He takes him to the highest part of the temple, that called it the pentacle of the temple, the highest part. And now Satan says to Jesus, look, if you're God, if you're God's son, throw yourself off of this thing. I mean, the angels will come and grab you before you hit the ground. He's virtually tempting him to commit suicide. Again, testing to see how he'll use that power. Now, of course, why wouldn't the devil want Jesus to commit suicide? Jesus was supposed to make it to Calvary, where he was nailed by hand and foot to a cross. But the devil comes and tempts him. And Jesus again says, you're not to tempt God. And that's what the devil was trying to do. Then again, a third time, the devil comes to Jesus. And he takes Jesus up on top of a mountain outside the city and to look down upon the world. And Satan said, let me show you all that's here. And Jesus, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll share all of this with you. Boy, what a lame deal. Already belongs to Jesus. The devil comes along and says, let me make a bargain with you. And Jesus said, you're not going to tempt me. You're not going to do that. Jesus said, the Bible clearly teaches we're to worship the Lord God and Him only. And I'm not going to bow down and worship you to get a part of what I already own all of. And so Jesus faced those temptations three times. We see in this setting that Satan tempted Jesus. Those weren't the only times. Three times Jesus wins over the devil. Now, temptation is a tool that the devil uses. You know, he tempted Eve all the way back at the beginning of man. He tempts Jesus here, basically midway through the Bible. And he comes to you and to me, and he tempts us today. You see, it's the same old devil, the same old tricks, the same old temptations, and it would be good that we learn something about temptation. We learn it from the Bible. You stay with me, and I want to give you some things about temptation. For instance, number one, the first thing I said already this evening is this: Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted. He understands what you go through. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yes, he was the God-man that was tempted, but when he was tempted as a man, and he had victory as a man. So don't get this idea that, sure, the devil tempted Jesus, but he was God. God can overcome. When he was tempted, indeed he was the God-man, but it was the man part of him that was tempted, and it was the man part of him that overcame the temptation. You say, how? The same way you and I do, through the submission of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus was submitted to the Holy Spirit as a result of it. He, as the God-man, the man part of him, was able to overcome. But Jesus was tempted. He wanted to be able to understand our temptation. I think that's one reason why temptation faced Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, wherefore in all things it behooved him, speaking of Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Here the Bible says it behooved him to be tempted. Now, what's going on here? I believe that Jesus wanted to understand you and I and the temptation we face. That is why he faced temptation. Why, Brother Owens? It says here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, that he might be merciful. Now, one way to be merciful on another is if you have faced what they face. You hear that verse from Owens chapter 2, verse 7? Don't criticize a man until you walk a mile in his shoes. And Jesus, though, you see, faced temptation. He therefore knows how to be merciful on you and I. The Bible also says he is able to succor them that are tempted. What's it mean? He can nurture them. He can help them. He can strengthen them who have been tempted. He understands them. You see, Jesus was tempted, and he overcame that temptation. He, as a man, faced what we face, and he did it because he wanted to be able to say, I understand. He wanted to say, this is some, I need to give you some mercy right now. He needed to say, I want to support you right now. I know what you're going through. So we don't have a God that's this big pie in the sky spirit that does not understand temptation. He, in the person of Jesus Christ, faced temptation. Number two, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Notice, the Bible teaches here that godly people are going to have temptation. You're going to face it. But God said, I know how to help deliver you from that temptation. He knows. You say, why? Well, one is experience. He has experienced temptation, and he has overcome temptation, and one that experiences it knows how to tell another how to overcome it. Hebrews 4:15, it says, but was in all points tempted like as we are without sin. He was tempted just like you and I, but he overcame it. He did not sin, and as a result of that, he can lead you and I on how we can overcome temptation. I think it'd be a good idea for us to follow God's instructions about the overcoming of temptation. He has proven he knows what he's doing. Young people, you listen to me. When someone tries to influence you, why don't you figure out how much life they have lived? Hey, it's not going to do you any good to get instruction about your life from people that haven't lived any, people that haven't overcome, people that are not victorious. I'd be careful following one another. You better follow your leaders, your mom and dad, and the pastors of the church and your Sunday school teachers and your teachers. Why? They now know how to overcome sin. You want someone with experience. And so, first of all, Jesus was tempted. Secondly, the Lord knows how to deliver us from temptation. Thirdly, all people face common temptations. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Notice there it says, such as is common to man. Temptation is common to man. Your temptation is like my temptation, and my temptation is like your temptation. Your temptations, most of your temptations are going to be no stronger than mine. Most of my temptations are going to be no stronger than yours. Now, when I say most, if you set yourself up continuously into a situation of temptation, it'll overwhelm you. But the temptations that come to us in our routine life, when we're living right for God, they are equal. They are common. You're not the only one who faces a temptation to lust. You're not the only one that faces a temptation to lie. You're not the only one that faces the temptation to steal. You're not the only one that faces the temptation of pride and the temptation of being a quitter. You're not the only one. A lot of people face all those temptations. Whatever you face, your common temptation, I face, and somebody in the pew beside you faces, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Stop feeling like you're the only one the devil tempts. Stop feeling that temptation's just rougher on you than it is on everybody else. Now, I think when you start yielding to it, the devil, he keeps on giving it to you, but I'll promise you, your initial temptations are just like everybody else's initial temptations. It's common. If you yield to temptation, listen to this. If you yield to the temptation to do wrong, there is somebody else that faces the very same temptation you face. They did not yield. Same degree of intensity on that temptation, they did not yield, but you yielded. Every time you yield to temptation, you need to stop and think. Now, somebody else is saying no to the same temptation right now that I'm saying yes to. Because temptation is common to man. And so, all people face the same type, common temptation. Think about it. What are the new temptations? check in the Bible, check through history. Same old temptations. Same old things. It is common. Adam faced the kind of temptation you and I face. I hear preachers say, the world is getting more and more wicked. Look, there were sodomites were everywhere in the day of Lot. Look, you say, well, there's murder everywhere. There was murder with the very first family. Yeah, we live in a prideful generation. Oh, yeah, and Adam and Eve decided to sow fig leaves together to cover their sin, thinking they could take care of their own salvation. Yes, indeed, we live in a wicked day and age. Yes, we do. But let me tell you something. Temptation's common. It's common. And so, I say to you, number one, Jesus was tempted. I say to you, number two, the Lord knows how to deliver us out of that temptation. I say to you, number three, temptation is common. I say to you, number four, God will not allow you to be tempted above your ability to overcome. God will not allow you to be tempted above your ability to overcome. Let me read the verse to you again. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Notice, but God is faithful. God is saying, I am faithful, I am just, I am true, and I will not allow a temptation to come in your life that you could not choose to overcome if you do what you're supposed to do. God's just. God's fair. God's good. God would not be fair if He brought temptations into your life that you would not have the wherewithal to overcome. That means every single temptation that comes your way, you have at that given moment the ability to escape it. David could have said no to Bathsheba's. He could have said no to the adultery with Bathsheba. David went on top of his housetop. He looked across the way, and there was a woman bathing. Now, David may not have known she was bathing up there. David may not have been able to keep himself from going up there and glancing and seeing it. But I'll tell you this, David could have closed his eyes. He could have ran downstairs, got on his face before God, read his Bible. He could have fought the temptation, and God would have enabled David not to walk out the front door, go across the street, go in her house, sleep with her and commit adultery. Right. He had the strength to say no if he would have used it. Because God did not tempt David above David's ability to overcome. God is a fair God. God is a just God. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God. They took money that belonged to God and they stole it. The Bible says they dropped over dead. It is dangerous to take God's money. They had the ability to say no to stealing from God. They could have said no. They were tempted to do what they should not do. They yielded to that temptation. And of course, death eventually came. But let me tell you something. God had not tempted them. The devil had not tempted them above that they were able. They could have said no. In the Old Testament, there's a story of a man named Korah, and he became disloyal to the man of God, and he became critical, and he rallied a bunch of people, and they actually attacked Moses. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how many of the people rallied behind him to encourage him to do wrong and to become disloyal. He had the power to do right. He had the power to say no to the temptation of being lifted up in pride, lifted up thinking he knew more than the leader that God had placed in his life. He had the ability to say no to the temptation of his criticism. He did not choose to use it. And you know what happened? 14,000 people died. God will not allow you to be tempted above your ability to overcome. That means anything that you have yielded to that you shouldn't have, you had the power to say no. You did not use the power that was made available to you. You did not use the strength that was made available to you. Because God's a fair God and God's a just God. You say, well, I tell you what, Brother Owen, I'm just telling you. I couldn't say no. You tell me, who's the liar, you or God? The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Number five. God makes a way for you to escape any temptation that comes your way. God makes a way for you to escape any temptation that comes your way. Listen to the verse again. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Notice, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. You can get away from temptation's grasps if you want to. There'll be a pocket of, a window of opportunity so you can scurry out, get away from it. Are you looking for the window of opportunity or enjoying the temptation? The window of opportunity comes and you hang around because you like the thrill of getting up close to sin. I never commit that sin, but we sure do enjoy the thrill of being around it and watching someone else do it. The Bible says God will give you a way to escape the temptation if you're willing. We were sitting, I don't remember where. I think it was at a Red Lobster. Mrs. Owens enjoys Red Lobster. I enjoy any color lobster, but she likes to go to Red Lobster. We were sitting there and we'd eaten a meal. Someone had given us a gift certificate and we went and they said, you get dessert with your meal. Boy, my wife ordered this great big old piece of pie. It had all this whipped cream on top and the crust looked like it was just right. I mean, it came walking at us and I thought, oh boy, look, heaven's coming on a plate. Well, I got my piece of pie. I was eating on it. I watched Mrs. Owens take her fork. She sucked it in that piece of pie, took a bite. I'm over there. I'm just wolfing mine down. I'm not really paying real good attention to what she's doing. I just get out of my road or I'll eat your fingers. I'm eating my pie. And I look over and she has a bottle of ketchup pouring it on top of her pie. I said, what are you doing? She said, if I don't put this on here now, I'm going to take another bite. And I've got to make this so I won't eat it. Once she had that baby smothered with ketchup, she moved it up the front. I didn't eat it. She didn't eat it. And guess what she did? She escaped temptation. I'll tell you something. You can escape the temptations that come your way if you just want to. There's a window of opportunity where you can flee, where you can run. I'll tell you what I do. I try to control myself, and I don't do a very good job of it. When I go to Ryan's, I'm going to tell you something. Ryan's is one of my weaknesses. I'd like to tell you what I like there, but we got to be done by 8:30, and they serve breakfast at Ryan's now on Saturdays and Sunday. Now, if you go there Sunday morning, you make sure you're here on time for church. But boy, I'll tell you what, can you imagine Ryan's for breakfast? I like going to Ryan's. I like their bread. I like their okra. I could tell you everything I like. But here's what I have to do. If I go to Ryan's, and I'm really trying to watch it, I do not want to be asked to be Santa Claus in the Christmas play. So I'm trying to make sure I don't qualify for the job. But you know what? When I go there, here's what I got to tell myself. Now look, Jeff, if you're not careful, you'll make an exception again and overeat and eat all the wrong stuff. So I'll go over and the way I try to help myself to escape from temptation is I go get me a great big salad. Boy, I pile on carrots and lettuce and spinach. I make it so big. I eat that, and it is my way of trying to keep myself from eating a bunch of other things. Because if I'm full, I can escape as much appetite for the other things. So after I'm done with my salad, I get a great big plate of cookies and ice cream, because I'm figuring since I ate so well earlier, let's skip the main course and go right to the dessert. One day, I decided I'm only going to eat salad, so I got this great big salad and I put chocolate chips on it. I think Mrs. Owens' technique works better than mine. But if you would really like to escape that temptation, I think God wants you to. I think He'll give you that window of opportunity. You know the story, and if you don't, let me briefly tell it to you. A young man by the name of Joseph had been put into a home of a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar was a wealthy man and a man of power. Potiphar was off at work, and Joseph was there at Potiphar's house working. Potiphar's wife had her eye on Joseph and had been luring him in, trying to get him to commit immorality with her. There came a day when she actually reached out, made him an offer, and grabbed a hold of him. He slipped out of his jacket and ran for the door. Why? He said, there's the window of opportunity. I'm not making a mistake. I am out of here. Now, he may have had to leave his coat behind, and he did, but he did not leave his purity behind. Why? Because temptation came, and God said, I will not tempt you above your able, but I'll make a way to escape. You can flee. You can get out. You do not have to fall to that temptation, which will lead you into that sin. Then, number 6, we are to endure temptation, the Bible says. James chapter 1, verse number 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Endure it. Now, the word blessed there would be akin to our word happy. Happy is the person who endures temptation. Look, folks, you won't be happy if you keep giving in to those weaknesses. You're going to sit in church and be miserable. You'll have a hard time. There'll come a time eventually when you're so miserable you don't even want to come to the altar to get it right anymore because you give in over and over and over and over again. You say, it used to make me happy. I'd go to the altar, get myself right with God, go back to my seat. I've done it over and over and over and over again. I'm just not even happy with the altar call. I'm not happy with the preaching. I'm not happy with myself. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You want to be happy, you're going to need to endure the temptation that comes your way. Listen, if the same temptation comes your way repeatedly, and you have done what you can to escape. Now listen, you say, Brother Owens, my temptation is lust and immorality. Don't be going down to the gentlemen's clubs and the strip bars expecting you're going to stay away from temptation. But if you are doing everything you can to keep that temptation away from you, and it seems to keep coming, God says you have the power to endure its repetitive attack on you. You can endure it. I look that word endure up. It is the word fortify. You need to fortify yourself. You need to load yourself down with ammunition and build some walls that will protect you. And when the temptation comes, you can fight back. You've got to fight the temptation. If we're talking about fortification, we're talking about war. We're talking about attack. It's time for some of you to fight back. Fight the temptation and you won't have to fight the sin because temptation comes before sin. And so we can endure temptation. Again, let me remind you, Jesus was tempted. The Lord knows how to help us to overcome temptation. Our temptations are common among us. God will not tempt you above your ability to overcome. God makes a way for you to escape that temptation. And you can endure it if it comes back again. Number 7, God wants you to have peace in life. So He tells you that He overcame temptation so that you know you can overcome temptation. I said this, God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have some peace in your life. So God tells you about how Jesus overcame temptation so you can have the peace and comfort of knowing that if He can, you can, and you can have some peace in your life and you don't have to throw in the towel and give in saying, I'm never going to get it together. My life's always going to be a mess. No, it is not. You can overcome the temptation. God wants you to have the peace of knowing you can have victory. If Jesus had victory, then you can have victory because He had His victory as a man. Just like you will have your victory as a man. John 16:33 says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's saying when I was down there and the worldliness was attacking me, I was able to overcome. And He said, I want you to have peace, because if I can overcome in the world, so can you overcome in the world. There's a peace that can come by knowing we can be overcomers. Look, folks, you are not doomed to fall. We get so defeated. The devil, he gets us convinced, there's just no way I can overcome this. There's no way I can reject it. There's no way I'm going to be victorious. I'm sorry, there is a way. Yes, there's a way. Jesus did it. You can do it. I wish some of you would get some peace and some confidence about yourself and realize, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and if he has, you can. You're promised the ability to succeed and have victory. You don't have to give in. I tell you what, that encourages me. If you don't win over temptation, and listen, you say, well, Brother Owens, I failed this week. I failed. Well, we all did. We all did. We're all just a bunch of sinners doing the best we know how. But you say, Brother Owens, I failed. I gave in to temptation this week. Well, get your chin up, because there's another week to come and you can be an overcomer. Get some peace about yourself. Don't let the devil convince you that you've got to live this defeated Christian lifestyle the rest of your life because you just can't seem to overcome. Yes, you can. Maybe you didn't have victory today, but you can have victory tomorrow. Have peace with the fact that your God can help you to overcome what it is you're facing. Well, that brings me peace. Now, let me quickly tell you temptation's process. Listen to this. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I could teach on this for the next 2 hours. I'm not going to. I'm going to make 5 comments about it, and I'm going on. What is the process of this thing called temptation? Notice, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Drawn away of his own lust. The devil notices something that you lust after. He is watching for you to show him your weaknesses. Then he entices you with the weaknesses you have shown him. That's where that temptation enters. The devil notices something that you're going after. He's watching for your weaknesses. Then he entices you with what you lust or what you want to chase after. And then when your lust and desire is combined with his enticement or temptation, the Bible says your lust and his temptation come together and conceive or virtually give birth to sin. It says, it bringeth forth sin. Your lust, his enticement, come together. When you don't say no, they come together almost like a physical relationship. They conceive, and it says, it bringeth forth sin. Sin is born into that part of your life. Oh, then it says, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We lust, he then works on the area of our lust by enticing us. When we yield, sin is conceived, we commit our sin, and eventually that sin will kill something. Mike, hey, you say, you're saying it's going to kill me? Well, it could. But maybe it'll kill a dream in your life. Maybe it'll kill your family. Maybe it'll kill the soul of some person you should have influenced that you'll never have influence over again. But that is sin's process. Drawn by our own lusts, enticed by Satan, lust and is then conceives sin, and then sin brings death. You say, well, what are we going to do about this? Let me give you another verse. We're so close to being done. Just hang on. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The process of temptation, I gave it to you. Now, what is the process of victory? Well, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. What's it mean? Submit your mind to God. Submit your body to God. Submit your heart to God. You and God become a team because you need God's help to beat the devil. You won't beat him on your own. That's why the Bible says you submit to God. You do what the Bible says. You submit to the Holy Spirit. Submit your mind. Submit your body. Submit your heart. Then you and God have now formed a team. It's time for some of you to stop fighting God and start fighting on God's team. You get on His side and the two of you can win over temptation together. Here's the problem. Some people have hard hearts when temptation comes. That always brings failure. Listen to this. Hebrews 3:8. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Somebody had been tempted, but their heart was hard when the temptation came, which meant they were not submitted to God, so they fell to the temptation. You only overcome the temptation when you're submitted to God. Because when you're submitted to God, you and God have formed a team. You can't beat the devil on your own. You need reinforcements. God is your reinforcements. You and God make a majority and you can overcome temptation. Which means this. When you have committed a sin, when you have been tempted and drawn aside, you are not close enough to God at the moment of that temptation. Because had you been close enough to God, then you too would have conquered the temptation. So the minute that temptation comes and you find yourself in sin, look back and say, oh, I wasn't close enough to God. It'd be a good idea to stay close to Him all the time then, huh? Again, what do we see here? What must we do? Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does that resist mean? It means fighting. It means stay away from him. You're going to resist best by being in submission to God. You need to understand something. You have a will, or the devil has a will, but God has a will for your life. If you desire God's will, it is the best way to resist the devil. I want to warn you about something. The devil does not really care whose will you do, yours or his, as long as you don't do God's.
Right.
You, to resist the devil, need to do exactly what God wants. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm doing what the devil wants. I'm doing what I want. Well, you're not doing what God wants, and that's all the devil wants. So you are not resisting. You say, Brother Owens, I wasn't out drinking last Sunday night during church time. I was at home. It was a peaceful day. I was just sitting in the backyard drinking tea. The devil was pleased with that. You say, well, I wasn't resisting in an evil way, but you were just resisting God. You weren't doing what God wanted you to do. So if you really want to resist and have God on your team or you'd be on God's team, you need to submit to God's will. And so, if I want to overcome temptation, I need to submit myself to God. By doing so, it gives me the power to resist the devil, and then the Bible says he will flee from you. We finished up the reading in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 11, and the Bible says, the Bible says he will flee from you here in the book of James, and it also says in Matthew 4:11 that the devil, he left Jesus after the temptation. Jesus had shut him down three times, and the Bible says he left. Devil left him alone. When you submit and you resist, the devil's going to get out of there. Well, he may come back. You say, I just feel like he's just on me, every day in, day out. Are you submitting and resisting? He's on you because you fiddle around with him. You almost enjoy the temptation. You enjoy the entertainment of the temptation, the tingly physical feelings. If you would submit to God totally, resist strongly, the devil's not going to like that. But if he knows that you're just toying with spirituality, he's going to keep coming around because he thinks he's going to get you sooner or later. You say, well, Brother Owens, what's the result? If I submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from me. Okay, this is it. Romans chapter 8, verse number 37, the result is this. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can become a conqueror, but wait, more than that. You can become more than a conqueror. You could be a winner. You could be a champion. You could be the victor. But it says more than a conqueror. You know what it means? You could be a winner's winner. You could be a champion of champions. You could be the victor of the victors. You could be more than a conqueror if you will do what God says about this temptation. Because if you resist and do away with the temptation, it's not going to lead you to the sin. And so, I said this to you. Jesus was tempted. He knows how to deliver us from temptation. Our temptations are common. He will never allow us to be tempted above our ability to overcome. He will give us a window of opportunity to escape that temptation. If it comes to us, we do have the power to endure it. God wants us to have the peace in life of knowing that we can overcome. Temptation's process, we're drawn away by our lust. The devil then entices us with the training that we have virtually given him by telling him the things that we want that are wrong. That lust and enticement come together. They conceive. They bring forth sin. Sin brings death. What are we to do? We are to submit ourselves to God, form a team with him, resist the devil by being in God's will so that we're not doing what the devil wants us to do. And the Bible says the devil will flee from us. And what will that make us? It will make us more than conquerors. We'll become champions. Champions of the champions, conquerors of the conqueror, victors of the victor. Temptation. Watch out. It's very real. But God has shown us in his word how we can overcome and be victorious and live a victorious Christian life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.